If you have your Bibles, and I can get to the right page here, I want to read you an article. We'll look at some scripture here. This Terry James actually wrote this article, and he says, "The prophetic cry for peace and safety is almost always seen as involving fear generated by the threat of the breakout of war. Particularly, the prophecy is thought to be scheduled to emerge to the forefront of the end times conditions as Christ's return nears. Further, that almost universal cry is believed by many to be centered around the fear of war breaking out because of Israel confronting its immediate surrounding hostile neighbors. The following prophecy by the Apostle Paul frames that matter." So if you want to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5, let me do that, and I'm going to grab some more water here. First Thessalonians 5:1-3. Everybody there? "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." He goes on to explain that when he says the apostle's use of pronouns make it clear that he delineates between the people he's addressing, fellow believers, and them, those upon whom sudden judgment is scheduled to fall. He goes on to say, and incidentally, this is exactly the same pronouncement Jesus makes upon the rebellious generation when he next catastrophically intervenes. So if you want to read, let's go ahead and open to Luke 17. I'm going to have to do that. That didn't. We're going to read 26 through 30. Anybody there? Oops. And this is Jesus now. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But that same day when Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." There's two explanations here. Basically, if you look at that one, it says they ate, they drank, they married. Basically, what he's saying is just living life as normal. This has become our new normal. If you look around, people gladly throw a mask on, got to go get some groceries because there's a game on. Okay, all the things that we have as God are going to the lakes today. I'm coming to work today, saw how many people heading to the lake with their boats. If we turn one more time to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3. We're going to read 1-4. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." There aren't very many of us in church today. Most of everybody's down at the lakes. Sunday afternoon, the sun's shining. We'll be down at the lakes. Drink beer and go skiing and splash around in the water. So what's going on today? It's not just me. If I could go on and finish this article up, Terry goes on to say, "This means that the judgment of God is meant for those who don't know Christ for salvation and who will be crying for peace and safety when the day of the Lord is introduced as a thief in the night to intervene. The question then arises, why does Paul say that of the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need that I write unto you? He then goes on to tell us we know perfectly well that the thief in the night experience will introduce the day of the Lord. He says further that this time will be marked by they who will be crying for peace and safety. This being a heads up to us, Paul's brethren, that is, Christians, is essential to understand the matter of peace and safety. This is how we can know the general time frame of the thief in the night event. That's the time of the rapture. We should, Paul tells us, know perfectly well that when they are crying peace and safety, the rapture is at hand. Judgment will then fall on those who aren't our brethren, the lost who will be left behind when Jesus calls the church. We've been hearing for decades the cry for peace and safety, the efforts to bring about peace in the world, particularly in the Middle East, are legendary. The effort has been never-ending, yet there are wars and rumors of wars, and the quest goes on. I want us to consider the matter from a different perspective. There's a cry for peace and safety by the world's population at this very time. As a matter of fact, the fear of our war being waged by the tiny entity called COVID-19 is so great that it shut down the entire movement of Earth's peoples for the most part. It has more than 90% of the people in America believing that they must wear masks to survive the battle against the coronavirus. Media and the governments tell us we must stay sheltered and apart from each other until a vaccine is developed and vaccinations are mandated and injected. The world is crying peace and safety in a way never witnessed. They want freedom of fear from an enemy they can't even see. Christians are also crying for peace and safety. It is, however, for a much more profound sort. He gets emails on this. He said, almost every email I receive from those who look at the world through the lens of Bible prophecy are expressing their wishes for Christ to rapture his own. They want to escape the things they see about to overwhelm this judgment-bound planet. They want the peace and safety offered by the glory of heaven. It's a righteous cry for help. Let's take heart with great anticipation as we see that the day approaching. Let's look with thoughts of the blessed hope of Titus 2:13 at the balance of the prophecy Paul left believers with before he departed for heaven through the Roman sword of beheading. And he says, this is, if you want to turn and follow along, this is 1 Thessalonians 5:4-1, and I'll wrap this up. First Thessalonians 5:4-11. And if you'll notice, all throughout here, he compares us to them. So notice the we and they and the you and ye and all that, how he compares unsaved to saved. So 1 Thessalonians 5:4-11 says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye do. That makes sense to everybody, I hope. We don't have to worry. If it happened right now, we are going to be in a place so wonderful, it's not really addressed much in the Bible, because I don't think, in these tiny little pea brains we had, I don't think we can understand heaven. Just like I don't think we can understand hell. But he gives us a choice. Accept Jesus. Spend eternity with him in a place that's so wonderful we can't understand, can't be described. Or stay separated from him. Do your own thing. Don't accept Jesus. Let man fix these problems. And spend eternity in a place that's so horrible we can't understand it. We can't describe it. I'll finish up with, if we could go, Everybody knows this one, and this is one of my favorite ones, especially for today. Titus 2:13. I could probably do it verbatim, but I want to get every word just so. We're going to do Titus 2:13 and 14. Looking for that blessed hope. Who's our blessed hope, or what's our blessed hope? Everybody knows. Bruce? Okay, too early for quiz time, right? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That almost doesn't do justice, who gave himself for us. Do you understand that in Jesus' time, that was ruled by the Romans, and the Romans were very, very, very good at killing people. And not just killing, but torturing. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't just go to the cross. And there are so many pictures today. When you see him hanging on the cross, an awful lot of times, he's got ropes, right? It wasn't ropes. They nailed him up there. And not just, they show nails in his hands. They weren't in his hands. The hand won't hold a body when you put a nail through it, pull right through the other hand. They put it in his wrist. And the reason they put it in his wrist, for two reasons. Number one, that'll support him. Number two, it severs a tendon to prevent him from pulling himself up. So picture this. Not only was he hanging on a cross. I hope you kids, this isn't too graphic, but this is how serious this is. This is how much that he has done for us. He went in, if you can imagine the beating that he went through before they even took him to the cross. They whipped him with an item called a cat of nine tails, a rod with leather tongs on the end and pieces of sharpened bone on the end of it. Not only did they whip him with it, but these things stuck to him and pull him out, ripping his flesh away from him. So before he even went to the cross, they beat him so badly. I highly doubt that they actually let him keep his loincloth on, because that would have been humiliating too. So they beat him to a pulp, put him on a cross, took his feet, one on top of the other like this, and drove a nail through both feet. When they drove nails through his wrists, he was able to hang up there from that, couldn't get down, was hanging there, was unable to pull himself up. Hanging like this, you're unable to breathe. He had to actually go up like this. The only way he could get himself up to take a breath was to push with his feet. Not standing like this, nailed together. Try and imagine that. And he did that. He hung there for 3 hours. He did that for us so we could go watch football, right? On Sunday? No. He did that so we could be with him in paradise. The stuff that we have here, the Bible says, but a vapor. This little life is nothing. It's such a short period of time. We're here for a purpose. We're here to do his work, his will. To have a relationship with him so we can spend eternity with him. After all we went through, we owe it to him. The time is short. The time is very, very short. You can almost hear the trumpets, can't you? Seriously, with all that's going on in the world today, our time is so very short. So I'm going to ask everybody, I've been doing this, I have been blessed with a job that allows me to take the skills that, and here again, when I say I have a gift, this is truly as the Lord has allowed me to fly an airplane for a company that takes doctors and nurses to different locations to hopefully help people. And my main job is to sit there and wait for them to go home again. And in the meantime, I've gotten to witness to an awful lot of people. And it's really sad how many people want absolutely nothing. It still sounds nutty to the world, but every once in a while you'll run into somebody that wants to hear the word of Jesus. We're waiting for at least one more person. And once that one person is saved, Jesus is coming for his bride. That's us. Lord, help us to present that to people that do not know him. Bruce, would you close for us in prayer? Amen and amen. I don't know, we don't have a piano player, so we can't really close in the song unless Bruce wants to do an a cappella for us. But thank you, everybody. I don't know if anybody got anything out of that. I pray that it was. It's a little bit, I used to get up and flight instruct in front of a group of people, but I haven't done it for a very long time. So getting in front of people and having everybody pay attention like you were, thank you very much. But I think it would be kind of an eye-opener if we could do something like this. I would love to take, when I go to places and wait for the doctors, I do an awful lot of reading on prophecy and how it, and what's going on today. I don't know what we can do other than have some kind of, and I don't know if we even want to put a title on it, like Prophecy Watch. If we could get together weekly and do a little Bible study, I don't know, before church, after church, before Wednesday night, Saturday, whenever you want to do, if something like this would go, do you think it would work to get together and have like a Bible prophecy, Bible study? It's okay to say yes or no, either way, or go ahead and digest it a little bit if you want to chew on it a little bit and see if you thought. I wouldn't be the one doing it all the time. I'd ask a couple, like maybe Tom, if he'd be interested in doing something. But I think there's an awful lot of stuff going on today that is just almost verbatim out of the Bible that we need to share with people that don't. We all love the Lord, right? Everybody here loves Jesus. I think there's a lot of people out there that only know that name as a swear word. It's so sad. Because there's a storm coming. I'm done. I was done. If you don't get up, I'm going to keep on going. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Really? You were just saying that, did you, Dad?